You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Armor All. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. Use protection. We do more for our car tires, as it turns out, than we do for our own spiritual lives. And the armor all on your tires probably didn't help that much. It just looks good, right? So a lot of Christians armor all in their lives up to get all cleaned up, but they're not really armored at all. There isn't anything to protect you. Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And this is like chapter 6. Amazing garden. These two people figured it was great. And within 6 chapters, this is all he's got. Now let me tell you something. It hadn't changed much. And it's almost getting worse. And it's almost expected of you to be this kind of person. Because we're getting sucked further and further out to enemy territory where everyone does, and this is straight out of the book, everyone does what is right in their own eyes, right? You can't be telling me something's not right for you. It might be right for me. There are some things that are still just not right. And the day you start getting wishy-washy on truth, you're in trouble. So you got this going on. Go to Psalm 53. Psalm 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. That's what it looks like in the scriptures. Now let me give you a little ray of hope. There are still people who care about these things, who chase after God, who really care what he says or what he thinks or how he feels or what their life looks like to him, and have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and a desire to be right with God, not just to get their ticket, but day after day after day, in spite of the struggles. So if your hunger and your thirst has gone away, it doesn't mean it can't come back. Let me tell you the good news about Jesus. It is his kindness, it is his gentleness that will lead you to repentance, which partly can mean that if you've lost your hunger, you will be hungry again. And if you've lost your thirst, you will get so thirsty you won't be able to stand it, because sooner or later, you cannot live without him. And I talk to tons and tons of people and look in my own mirror and see a man who, even if I begin to drift, there is a point, no matter how far I drift, that he is very gentle and comes and says, you know what? I about had enough of you. Haven't you had about enough of you? I don't love you any less, but this is not going to work. What are you doing? And then all of a sudden, I have this hunger to devour the word and get in it, because I realize when I get away from him, when I don't pray, when I don't read the scriptures, when I'm out there by myself, I'm telling you guys, this is a horrible thing maybe to say, but I think it's true. If you do not stay very, very, very close to Jesus and very near his people and keep accountability and support and structure around you, I'm telling you, within days, you can be gone. You say, oh, no, no, I'm strong. Let him who stands take heed lest he fall. Do not mess with this enemy. Psalm 119:11, throw this one in here. And David simply says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. You have to have weaponry. And I'll get to this in the New Testament in a minute. The Bible is described, scriptures are described as a weapon, as a sword. If you do not have a sword to pull, you are standing there almost defenseless. Because when a lie comes and you do not have any truth to go back at it with, you are not going to win that argument. You have to know what Scripture says. You have to know what God says. You have to keep it really near and on the tip of your tongue so when these things come, whether it's in a discussion at work or with your family or friends or complete strangers, or whether it's in a conversation with the enemy himself. When Jesus got attacked in the wilderness, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, to go through that trial. And the devil comes at him and kind of quoting half stuff out of the Bible. And Jesus knew. You say, well, Jesus was born knowing the Bible. I don't believe that. I think he did because he was God, but I think he had to learn. I think Jesus had to study. I think he had to put it in his mind. He didn't just sit around. He was a great Jewish kid, and the way that worked, he had to learn. He was in the temple at 12 listening about his father's business. So he's never too young to start this. And if you don't start at some point, you're going to get your teeth kicked in. It's just how it works. The Scriptures, Proverbs 11:14. Go over there a few pages to the right. Just keep going. You'll hit it. Proverbs 11:14. And I'm going to read you about four out of Proverbs. So get ready. Here we go. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, implicit in this statement is what kind of counselors? If you are making decisions, life-changing decisions by yourself, you're probably in trouble. So there's one. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Get someone who is connected to God, get their opinion, get their read, get their look at it. Proverbs 24:6. For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. You don't even go to war without getting some very wise, very smart people in there. Proverbs 28:26. Turn over there. Now look at this one. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Be careful. All right, let me give you some other protection. Go to Isaiah 58:8. There is a verse here, and this is talking about fasting. I don't have time to read the entire thing here. But Isaiah 58:8 says this, then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. And look at this phrase, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. In fasting, well, it's not in the Hebrew, but basically God covers your butt. That's what it says. Because you're going ahead, your righteousness goes before you, but who's got your back? When you fast, you get your backside covered, where God cannot sneak up on you. When you chase after God and the things of God, and it's still so interesting to me, if someone wants to get in shape for a race or something, they'll eat certain things and work out and prepare. I'm like, you know what? Why would we make physical sacrifices if we're not willing to make spiritual sacrifices to attain goals? It may be that we don't have any goals. So set a goal. I want to walk with God. I want to talk with God. I want to know you. I don't want to know just stuff about you. I want to know you. So you say to him, Lord, I'm tired of learning things about you only. I want to know you. So that if you were really with me and I went to introduce you to someone, I'd go, well, this is my friend. This is my really, really good, this is like my best friend. And I've known him for this many years. And man, since I've met him, my life has never been the same. And man, you need to know my friend. That's a different relationship. There's great protection in being friends with Jesus. And you say, well, but that sounds too casual. It's not casual. It's amazing. Jeremiah 17, turn over there. Just keep going right. You'll run into Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, let's jump in at verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. You trust in your buddies for your life, the friends that are not good counselors, you're going to end up in some bad places. Kids go off to college, let's say, and one of the number one things you try to tell a kid, you've got to be careful what kind of friends you pick. You pick the wrong friends in life, you're going to end up in some really bad places. You say, well, how will I know? You better be listening to God and walking with God and not winging it, because in those moments, the men you meet, the women you meet, the relationships you engage in, the situations you get caught in, the drugs, the alcohol, the sex, everything that goes with it. You say, well, how did I get here? How did I end up here? You don't end up anywhere. You choose where you end up most of the time. If a door is left open in your life, there's a good chance you left it open. And you say, well, I didn't decide this life. When you don't decide for a different life, by default, you pick evil. You say, well, I just ended up here. No, you chose that because you didn't choose the right thing. And then we say, well, you know what, God, I'm tired. You know, there are moments I have like, God, I am so tired of this. I've been doing the right thing 6 days, 7 days, 2 months. You know what? I'm taking a break. Just go somewhere else. Go harass someone else. Go make someone else be holy for a little while. I need a break down here. You don't need a break. Because when you take a break, you get yourself into more trouble than you've ever had, because it compounds on itself. So I don't need a break. Lord, I don't need you leaving me alone. I need you to stay not just near me. I know you're never going to leave me or forsake me, but I've got to walk with you or I am going to just completely screw up the only life I've got. Keep reading verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Why? That person that trusts in the Lord, the roots go deep, there's a water supply. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, what the world does, whether there's drought or not. I'm hooked up. It looks dry up here, but my roots go deep because I trust in the Lord and he is feeding me. And when the heat comes, I'm cool. I'm okay. Then look at verse 9. You got to read your Bible. You'll never find this stuff. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You say, well, I feel in my heart this is the right thing to do. You better get past what you're thinking or feeling in your heart. Get some godly counsel. Search the scriptures. Ask God for his opinion, which is the right thing to do, and listen. You say, but I'm not feeling it right now. You know what? Who cares how you feel all the time? I mean, if you ask my wife, if she decided whether she's going to stay married to me based on how she feels about me all the time, I don't know this for real, but you can just kind of see it in her eyes sometimes. You know, I've done some stupid things. I'm selfish. I'm everything that breathing males are. It's not about how you feel. I feel great sometimes, but you know what? I got to trust Jesus when I feel horrible, when I feel nothing. You say, well, I'm married and I don't think I love her anymore. You know what? It really doesn't matter. You're married. So figure it out. You say, well, but he did this or that. You know what? And the next slug you get hooked up with is going to do something stupid too. So let's work on the car we got instead of trading it in. You say, well, I can't take it anymore. And I know that happens and God will sustain you somehow through all that, but don't be making more trouble for yourself. My wife and I have gone through some really tough stretches when I know for a fact there wasn't a lot of feeling, but there's been some great feelings recently and I'm glad she didn't bail. And they say it just keeps getting better and I'm starting to believe that. When the Bible says that the two shall become one flesh, it's not just a physical thing. There is something that happens between two human beings that is extraordinary. But there is something that can happen between you and Jesus that can be just as extraordinary. You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, you get in a closet and talk to Jesus or something. What are you talking about? You know, why don't you just try chat him up sometime? Just talk to him. My favorite prayers in the whole world are from people who don't know how to pray. And just, it's not all this, and God, you know, like, dude, you need like a mint or something? You're about to croak. You know, if you talk that way all the time, I'm cool with that. But this God, you know, and our Father, you know. Sheesh, just talk to him. And if you don't feel, you know, you say, Lord, I don't want to talk to you right now. I'm frustrated with you. I want an answer to this. You're not coming through on this. Talk to him. Get somewhere where nobody can hear you but him and go at it. I don't like being single. I don't like being married. I don't like not having a job. I don't like being sick. But I'm going to thank you and praise you anyway because you're all I've got. So I got to make it. And then you hammer it out. And if you keep talking to him long enough, then one day you drop dead and you're out of here and you won't even know what happened. So. So be careful just going on what you feel. Your heart is deceitful above all things. You can't know that. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now look at this, how it's described. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. If you've got a drinking problem, get rid of the alcohol. You got a drinking problem and you go to a restaurant and there's a bar. You say, well, I will never go out to eat again. That's okay. You got a drinking problem. And if you can't go in a restaurant that's got alcohol, then don't go in the restaurant. Don't make provision for the flesh. If you're attracted to some man or some woman at the office and being alone with them might create a problem, do not get yourself in a situation where you're going to be alone and make provision for the flesh. If you can't have cable TV without getting in trouble, turn the cable TV off, right? You say, well, it's boring. You know what? You say it's boring. Wait till you're sitting down in some jail cell with your old exciting life. Or a DWI, or whatever it is your goal is in life. Put on the armor of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10:3, look at this. For though we walk in the flesh, now whenever you see something in the Bible talking about the flesh, that means these bodies. This is flesh, okay? This is what gets me in trouble. And Paul said, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Getting out of this body, meaning I don't have all these desires in this flesh, will be a great liberating thing. But till I'm out of here, I got this struggle with this piece of flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. It's not about flesh and blood. We'll get that in a minute. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So your battle, you're getting hit with thoughts. I have really no idea how this works, but I'm about to tell you that. I don't know how the devil gets in my head. James says, we sin, we're drawn away of our own lusts and enticed. So somehow I've got these desires in there and the devil comes along with prompts. Driving down the road, you see a billboard, bam, a commercial, bam, a Victoria's Secret catalog shows up in the mail, bam. And you gotta make a decision. Is it going in the trash? Oh, well, my wife and girls might wanna look through it. Well, you know what? They can put it in their trunk and drive around and look at it. Well, I was just gonna order something for my wife. Then take her with you and buy it. It's a battle. These thoughts coming at you, thoughts coming at you. Or you got stuff in your life, you can't pull it down by yourself. It won't go away. Get some help. I can't manage this by myself. You're pulling strongholds down. You're casting down arguments. Back to the scripture thing. You can't cast down an argument if you don't have anything to say. And if you don't have truth to go back with, you got nothing. So the enemy, the people come at you and say, well, I feel like, or I think this and that. Say, you know what? With all due respect, I understand you feel that way, but this is what the scripture said. This is the truth. And you speak the truth in love and put the standard back up. Because if you don't know what the truth is and then come along with anything, well, you know, maybe you're right. I never thought about that. Don't want to be left out. So I'll go with that. And then you end up drifting way off course and wonder how it happened. Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You have a thought, you say, look, we're not just letting this thought run around in my head anymore. Take it captive, lock it up, train it, say, you don't run this house anymore. And stop it when it comes in before it takes over your mind and your body and makes you go do something. Say, whoa, 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 you are under arrest. You've been ruining my life, this stupid thought coming into my head over and over, and then I take it in, I act upon it, react to it, respond to it, and then go do it. I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm shutting you down right here, right now. And we're doing what Jesus wants me to do, not what you want me to do anymore, because you've done nothing but destroy my life. All right, let's do Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10. Paul writing here to this church in Ephesus. Finally, my brethren, writing to Christians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, not bits and pieces. Get yourself dressed for battle. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils. Now, this is how this works. No armor, no winning. You will not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, his crazy stuff, if you are not dressed for battle. You get dressed for battle, you go into battle, you can stand. If you do not have yourself protected, you're not going to make it. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up, again he says here, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There is nothing like winning. The problem is we grow up, we play on teams, oh, we lost again. Oh, well, we'll go get an ice cream anyway, it'll be okay. You know what? This isn't about going to get an ice cream. This is about winning. Enough losing already. And the devil comes along and says, well, you know what you are? That's all you are. You're just a loser. You're on a losing team. You're a bunch of quacks. You're a bunch of religious fuddy-duddies. You don't get it. We're all having fun out here. And you're going to be by yourself. And no one's going to know you're like you. You'll never be married. You'll never have any fun. Your life's over. You don't get away from this Jesus mess. And then you go, okay, I'll go do it again. I got one buddy, hadn't had a drink in years. And one day somebody goes, hey, we're going to a strip club. He says, okay, I'll turn and face the bar. Of course, there's a mirror there and that's another problem. But he's in the strip club, hadn't had a drink in years. And all of a sudden the big cigars come out. And the cigars come out. And so he's got an unlit cigar and they slide over a glass of some of the best whiskey on the planet. And this is all that happened. He took the cigar, he dipped the unlit cigar into the whiskey, and he took the cigar and he touched it to his lips. And $1,200 later, he was off the wagon. You say, well, but maybe that was just one day he didn't have his armor on. It doesn't take many of those days, does it? That wagon's hard to climb back on. The longer you go making it and winning, the more addictive winning is. The more desire you'll have inside of you, like, no, I'm not going back. I can't go back. I don't want that life. It ruined me, and it'll ruin me again. And you say, but I'm getting tempted. Then call someone. Call someone and say, look, I'm about to go down, dude. I'm not going to make it. You got to help me. You got to pray for me. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And then he goes through the stuff. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, truth around your waist, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, look at this, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. And by the way, the context of this whole thing is praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to pray? You know why the devil doesn't want you praying? Because you will win. If you win in prayer, you win in this. Amen. You don't win in prayer, you ain't winning. So you say, well, I'm tired of getting my butt kicked. Then get in a closet someplace and talk to Jesus. You say, well, I don't want the sinning to stop because I'm having a good time. All right, how's that working out for you? Let's let that run for a little while. It never works out.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now let me go back to something about getting tired. You say, dude, I can't fight this hard this long. You know what Sundays are supposed to be? It's supposed to be a little huddle up, recuperate. It's supposed to be a day of rest. You know why you need a day of rest? Because you're hosed. You're exhausted. Because you've been in battle. Who better to rest with than your buds, the troops? So you get with your friends, you get with the soldiers, you go, how was your week, dude? I got shot. Look at that. I'm going to make it.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.